Amen. It's been joy just having the Lord in my life and joy listening to our brothers. Can you give them a hand, their music ministry? Amen. Thank you, brothers. Also, I want to extend my best wishes to Lauren. I did have a note and I wanted to mention your presence today. We're praying for your family, and we thank God for the service of your mother, the late Mary Biles, who served our church. And so blessings to you. It's also good to see, is that Carrie? Sister Carrie Swisher back there. She's been ill, and not many knew it, but I've talked to her, and I'm glad you're doing better. God answers prayers. Amen. And we thank God for Sister Blondell Smith, Sister Claudie Webb in Dallas. We lifted her in prayer, and God answers prayers. And also good to see Zaria. Good to see you, young lady. Amen. And Tallulah Pay, this is your last Sunday. Stand up, Tallulah Pay, who served our youth and young adults ministry in our church. Going back to the East Coast, we're praying for you. And blessings to you and your family. I want to read a passage from the prophet Micah. Micah 6, 6 through 8, the New International Version. And the text reads, "With what shall I come before the Lord and bow down before the exalted God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000 rivers of olive oil? Shall I offer my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body, for the sin of my soul? He has shown you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God." The word of our God. I'm going to talk about walking. Thank you, ushers. Usually, after working at church during the week, I find myself driving in heavy traffic on I-35. To pass the time, I usually call my brother or one of my friends, and I tell them, "You are riding home with me." Talking with them takes my mind off traffic and makes the trip seem quicker than it really is. And my brother and my friends can just about tell when I'm close to home, because I'll say something like, "Well, okay," and then they'll say, "You must be home. And now you're ready to get off the phone." It's good to have family and friends to help us pass the time and take our minds off things. I call my brother and my friends my travel buddies. And sometimes when I call them, they say, "Okay, Ricky, you want somebody to talk to while you're driving home." Some of us also have running buddies. A running buddy, as you know, is a close friend or relative who goes with us when we're running the streets or when we, I know you ought to run the streets, or you used to, or running errands. We choose running buddies carefully, because usually it's someone who has the time to hang out. Sometimes you call somebody, they never can go anywhere. You want somebody that's ready to go. Usually it's someone who shares the same interests you have. Usually it's someone who makes us laugh and enjoy what we're doing. Those are our running buddies. And sometimes spouses are running buddies. It's always great to see couples that go everywhere together and do everything together. When you see one, you see the other. God bless them. That's not me. I don't really have running buddies because I'm basically a homebody. I'm either at church or I'm at home. I don't like going to the malls. In fact, I hate going to the malls. And I don't like going to the grocery store. Anywhere there's a crowd, I don't like it. And my wife doesn't want me to go with her because she knows that I can't hang out that long. So she's got a few running buddies, and they'll run all day and all night until everything shuts down. When you have family and friends who will run with you, hang out with you, and enjoy life with you, that's a blessing. We all have weekly routines. We have Monday things. We have Tuesday things. We have days for paying bills. We have days for going to the bank. We have doctor appointments. We have hair appointments. You know, we got to get our hair did. Some of us go to the gym. We have schedules for work. We have schedules for school. We have schedules for our children. We have schedules for the church during the week, Bible class, mission meetings, choir rehearsals, and weekly visits. Each week in our lives, you can track us by the day and by the schedule. And sometimes my friends will call me on Wednesday evenings, and when they don't get me, they say, "Oh, I forgot that you have Bible study on Wednesdays." We all have routines, weekly routines, daily routines, and habits that shape our lives and give our lives meaning and purpose. Christians also have routines. We are just like everyone else. We have weekly schedules. We have daily schedules. One difference for Christians or persons of faith is we want God to be with us. We pray as we go about our daily and weekly routines for God to go with us. We want God to walk with us, don't we? We want God to be with us as we drive here and drive there. We want God to go with us as we work on our jobs. We want God to go with our children as they go to school. We want God to go with us to walk with us. And that song, "I Want Jesus to Walk with Me," is meaningful for Christians because we know that we need God every day. We want God to walk with us all along this pilgrim journey. We want God to walk with us. And the blessing is God does walk with us. The presence and the power of God surround us every day. And sometimes we are oblivious or unaware as it relates to the presence of God. We don't even know God is with us. Then something happens and we realize God has been with us all the time. We say like Jacob, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it." Praise the Lord. We serve a God who walks with us. Are y'all here today? Isn't it interesting that we want God to walk with us? We plan our daily schedules. We plan our weekly schedules. Then we pray for God to walk with us. And sometimes, as we plan, we don't ask God for input. Are y'all here today? Look up at me. Look up at me. We do all the planning ourselves. When we finish our plans, then we pray for God to walk with us. We want God along on our journeys as a running buddy. We want God along on the journey as a talking buddy to take our minds off things until we reach our destination. And because God loves us, because God is gracious, God doesn't withhold his presence. God walks with us. We want God to walk with us. But do we want to walk with God? There's a difference between God walking with us and Christians walking with God. I said earlier, when we have a running buddy, it's usually someone with whom we share the same interest. It's usually someone who has the time and makes the experience enjoyable. We choose running buddies carefully, right? When we ask God to walk with us, it's usually after we've planned our activities and we simply want God's presence and sanction, but not necessarily God's input. We panned everything in our lives and then said to God, this is what I'm doing. Come go with me. Thankfully, God knows us and God loves us. Again, there is a difference between God walking with us and Christians walking with God. If we're going to walk with God, don't we have to be in sync with what God is doing? Huh? If we're going to walk with God, don't you think we need to have a sense of where God is headed? Right? If we're going to walk with God, isn't it God who sets the agenda? If God, beloved, gives us freedom to make our schedules, if God gives us freedom to carry out our daily and weekly routines and still walks with us, then when God asks us to walk with him, shouldn't God exercise the same freedom and set the agenda? Are y'all with me? If God lets us get up every day and plan our day and carry out our routines and God still walks with us, then when God asks us to walk with him, shouldn't we let God set the agenda? And that's the crux of the message in our text. When the issue is walking with God, who sets the agenda? The prophet Micah says, with what shall I come before the Lord and bow down before the exalted God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000 rivers of olive oil? Shall I offer my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has shown you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. After explaining earlier in the chapter all of the things that God has done, the prophet wrestles with what the people ought to do in return. So when you read through Micah, he gives this litany of things that God has done for the people, and then he comes to the issue, what should the people do in return for all that God has done? And he tells them, the people do not set the agenda. Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000 rivers of olive oil? Shall I offer my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? year-old calves, rams, and rivers of oil constitute religious practices, a religious ceremony. They point to the acts of religious piety that the people think God expects. Micah even points out the issue of quantity with these acts of piety. If this is what God wants, then how much do we give? How many calves? How many rams? How much oil? And he suggests there is no limit if that's what God expects. If God is just interested in ceremony, if God is just interested in acts of piety, then how many acts do you have to provide? And how often and how long? Those are the things that represent the agenda of the people. They think that walking with God means doing what they think God expects. And Micah argues that the people do not set the agenda. God wants more than ceremony. God wants more than acts of piety. You see, often in our relationship with God, we either remain content with God walking with us, that's all we want, within the framework of our planned agendas, or we try to set the agenda for God. And you can hear it in our prayers. We often pray me-centered prayers. Help me. Bless me. Comfort me. Guide me. Walk with me. Take care of my mom. Take care of my family. That's all about us, a God walking with us. That's our agenda. And there's nothing wrong with that. Except that Micah wants to issue a corrective. And that is, when we walk with God, we do not set the agenda. Carter G. Woodson wrote, if the Negro in the ghetto, and he's limited by his context, if the Negro in the ghetto is eternally fed by the hand that pushes him into the ghetto, he will never be strong enough to get out of the ghetto. If the Negro in the ghetto is eternally fed by the hand that pushes him into the ghetto, he will never be strong enough to get out of it. The reason is the hand that pushes him into the ghetto is the hand that sets the agenda. You understand that, don't you? And when you set the agenda, you determine where you're walking. And you determine what you're going to do. And Micah is saying to the people and saying to us that the people do not set the agenda when they walk with God. Now, there's a critical phrase in this passage that I read. And that phrase is, and to walk humbly with your God. Now, it's the last phrase of the passage. So you would think that it's another point among many points. But this phrase is the main point of the whole passage. It is the summation of the preceding points. The text is all about walking with God, not God walking with us. And that word walk comes from the Hebrew halak, which means to abandon all self-sufficiency. When you walk with God, you give up all self-sufficiency. And humbly means to walk carefully, giving God first priority. What does it mean to walk with God? It means that God sets the agenda and we follow where God is going. It means that we cannot have a parallel and competing agenda. So God doesn't want us to walk alongside with our own agenda and carry his agenda at the same time. It's either we walk with God and follow God's agenda or we follow our own agenda. So the question becomes, what then is God's agenda? Where is God headed when we walk with God? Where is God going? What are the interests that drive God's agenda? The writer lets us know that God is interested in how we live our lives. God is more concerned about what shapes our relationships with others than about acts of piety. All of the acts of piety in the world cannot substitute for living the way God wants us to live. So you can wear a robe all day long. You can come to the altar all day long. You can take your communion all day long. You can go to a prayer meeting all day long. That does not substitute for the way God wants us to live. So walking with God means living the way God wants us to live. And there are two important points about relationships that get at the heart of walking with God. And the first is when he says to act justly. In other words, to engage in the pursuit of justice. And that word justly in the Hebrew is mishpat. And it means neighborly mutuality and respect. It's not about, mishpat is not about something people feel. Mishpat is about something people do. It's not just a wish for justice. It's not just to complain about justice. To act justly means to work for fairness and equality for all. Justice is about the redistribution of power. Justice is about efforts to correct inequities in society. So to act justly is to work on behalf of the weak, the powerless, and the disinherited. And it means to drive people in power to render true judgments. That's one of the things we do when we walk with God. We act justly. And when we act with justice, we are concerned about the widows. We are concerned about the orphans. And we are concerned about the aliens, the strangers in our midst. And that's why we're having this silent protest today. We're demonstrating the beginnings of our commitment to justice and equality. The Bible says to walk with God is to act justly, to engage in the pursuit of justice, neighborly mutuality, and respect. Governors in this country are sending migrants to Chicago and Washington, D.C., this governor in Texas, and the governor of Florida flew migrants to Martha's Vineyard. And one of the migrants spoke on television the other day and said that they were duped with promises of jobs and promises of housing. And can't you think about what happened? They snatch these people up who've already traveled distances and come through difficulty. They snatch them up, put them on buses, put them on planes, and drop them off somewhere with no help and nothing to guide what's going on. The governors are exploiting persons who are already in desperate situations. That's not justice. That's not acting justly. And the Bible speaks about being hospitable to aliens. But we should not be surprised by what they are doing. Because the Bible says in Proverbs 28:5, evil men do not understand justice. But those who seek the Lord understand it completely. You should not be surprised when folk who are crazy and in charge do crazy things to other people. You should not be surprised because you cannot expect justice to come from people who are not walking with God. The Bible teaches us those who are walking with God ought to engage in the pursuit of justice. The Bible says in Isaiah 1:17, learn to do good, seek justice, correct oppression, bring justice to the fatherless, plead the widow's cause. When you walk with God, you follow God's agenda, and God's agenda says, act justly. And then there's another part of it, and it says, and love mercy. So that we engage in loving relationships with others. That phrase, love mercy, is rooted in the Hebrew word hesed. And hesed means love, loyalty, and faithfulness. And that's the word that describes God's love for Israel. God is loyal. God is faithful to Israel. And the Bible calls it God's steadfast love. And that's what ought to shape our relationship. Now, many of us love God. We love God all day long. We love the ground God walks on. We readily step up to the plate as it relates to loving God. But to love mercy is to shape every relationship by loyalty, kindness, and faithfulness. It means relationships with family. So if you're going to walk with God, you got to get right with your family. Even if you're not wrong, even if they're the wrong person who messed up. Relationships with neighbors. You got to get along with your neighbors, even if they don't look like you, even if they've got a different sign in the yard. Relationships with the people of God and relationships with strangers. Walking with God is embodying God's love agenda. It's being rooted in right actions toward others built upon the foundation of love. You see, love isn't a feeling. Love is a lifestyle. Love is action. It's a way of acting toward others that pleases God. And that's why Paul said love works no ill to his neighbor. So love is not in the business of doing harm to the neighbor. Help me, Holy Ghost. I know many of you all are grieving because of the Queen's passing. And wish that you could be in Europe in the line to walk past her coffin. But many of the member nations of the Commonwealth are contemplating withdrawal from the Commonwealth. It is about time, like Jamaica. Because while the world is hailing the service and reign of the late queen, and I have to give it to her, the sister was tough. She even up to Tuesday before she died, she stood there on the cane recognizing the new prime minister. Tough old sister. Gotta give it to her. But while the world is hailing the service and the reign of the late queen, many are also reflecting upon the long history of colonialism, the legacy of internment camps, mass killings, and the destruction of native peoples and their resources. We cannot forget that nations have not always operated with love and concern for others. The drive for power, wealth, and white supremacy has been the order of the day for too long. Somebody said when the Europeans came to Africa, the Africans had the gold and the Europeans had the Bible. And when they left, the Europeans had the gold and the Africans had the Bible. That isn't love, beloved. That isn't love. Do we just want a faith in which God just walks with us and blesses us and takes care of us and guides us? Is that what we want? We got to grow up. Be grown Christians. People say, I'm a grown hoop-de-doop woman. I'm a grown hoop-de-doop man. We need some grown hoop-de-doop Christians. Help me, somebody. Do we want to walk with God? You see, God needs some running buddies. God needs some ride or die, as the sister said on Wednesday, ride or die believers. God needs folk who will let God set the agenda. God needs folk who will act justly and love mercy. I'm reminded of Maya Angelou's poem, I Know Why the Caged Bird Sings. And she says, a free bird leaps on the back of the wind and floats downstream till the current ends and dips his wing in the orange sun rays and dares to claim the sky. But a bird that stalks down his narrow cage can seldom see through his bars of rage. His wings are clipped and his feet are tied, so he opens his throat to sing. The caged bird sings with a fearful trill of things unknown but longed for still, and his tune is heard on the distant hill, for the caged bird sings of freedom. A free bird thinks of another breeze, and the trade wind soft through the sighing trees, and the fat worms waiting on a dawn bright lawn, and he names the sky his own. But a caged bird stands on the grave of dreams. His shadow shouts on a nightmare scream. His wings are clipped and his feet are tied, so he opens his throat to sing. The caged bird sings with a fearful trill of things unknown but longed for still, and his tune is heard on the distant hill, for the caged bird sings of freedom. If you want to walk with God, you got to follow God's agenda. And God is in the world letting the caged birds out and helping the caged birds to go and experience life just like the free birds. And if we're going to act justly, we cannot just come in here with in our finery and worship on Sundays and think that's enough and then ask for prayer for ourselves and others and think that's enough. We've got to carry a sign that says enough and a sign that says vote. We've got to go to the polls and vote these crazies out of office. We've got to stand up and act justly and show love. Oh, help me somebody. The invitation to Christ is extended. Thank you, Social Justice and Action Ministry, for jump-starting us, helping us to see that walking with God is not just about us. It's about what God wants to do in us and what God wants to do through us. We offer Christ to you, a Christ cares about the oppressed. Won't you come? Will you stand? The invitation is extended as our deacons, ministers, deaconesses come. You want to join us online? You can go to belonging@ebc3austin.org.
Offer Christ to you, oh my brother. Offer Christ to you, oh my sister.
Oh, he
will give you brand new life
through
life above.
God bless you.
Come on.